We get into the study for today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for that time of worship, where we have the opportunity, God, to come and gather together as a family, to focus on you and to worship you, God. God, I know there are many distractions that can keep our focus away from you. But if we were able to receive even from the songs we sang today, God, there's so much truth in what we sang. There is a real enemy that is looking to pluck us away from your hand, to keep us away from you, God. There is a real enemy that is trying to get our focus off of what is important and on things that are not as important as you. So I pray right now that through the power of your Spirit, that you would open our eyes to see. Give us wisdom and understanding as we continue to go on this journey of studying and learning what it means to be a true soldier of Christ. I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts, and that you would help transform our hearts so that we can grow into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing on part 15. So we are on page 62. Okay, and we're on the middle portion of page 62. We're going to be talking about our second area of the human personality that is often attacked by demons. Okay, and I know this has been a very interesting topic. I know at times some parts have been hard to digest, but I want to remind us once again why we are on this journey together. Okay, we are on this journey together because, as I said last week, is that, you know, even this past week, as having a conversation with Sunny and Grace during the week, and we were just talking about, you know, what does it mean to be a true disciple of Christ? And even Grace shared that she feels, you know, a lot of Christians come into their faith with the wrong understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And you know, in love, I want to absolutely share and present the truth that when we chose to become a follower of Christ, whether we knew it then, but hopefully we know it now, is that we were entering into a spiritual battle. We were entering into a spiritual war. Even our baptism in and of itself declare to all of these unseen forces that we've been learning about that we no longer belong to Satan, but we belong to Christ. And Satan is always going to try to get back what he believes belongs to him. But we are children of God. And so even though right now we belong to God, Satan is actively looking to distract us as Christians, to make things in the world seem more important than God. Okay, and so we are on this journey to understand that we are in a war. We need to be aware of that and to grow as a soldier of Christ, because that's what it means to be a true follower of Christ. Anything less, well, you're just going to have a very casual journey, and the chances of you being destroyed by the enemy and his kingdom are very high. But if we have an awareness of what it means to follow Christ, if we understand that we need to grow as soldiers of Christ and we are developing a biblical worldview, then we are definitely in a much better position to stand firm against Satan and what he is looking to do. And you know, the interesting part about it is that the Bible already tells us all of Satan's strategies. The Bible tells us how he works and how he operates. And today we're going to understand probably the most serious way that the enemy works. Okay, and that is with the mind. It's in our thoughts. It's how we think. It's how we perceive reality around us. It's our type of worldview. Okay, so let's read the first bullet point. It says, this is probably one of the biggest and main battlefields of the human personality. Some of the demons that invade our mind are doubt, unbelief, confusion, double-mindedness, indecision, compromise, humanism, and even insanity. Our mind is usually under the most attack. The enemy knows that if he can gain entry into one's mind, then destructive actions will follow. Okay, so there's something here that we need to understand. First of all, Satan and his kingdom. And if we get attacked in our mind, it's most likely not Satan that is doing that. But it's other spiritual entities and demonic forces that are attacking our mind. Okay, and what does Satan and his kingdom do throughout the day? Well, we already know this, right? I gave you guys the example before that imagine I have a tennis ball and I just constantly throw it against that wall all day long. I just throw that ball against that wall. That is essentially what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to look for an entry point into our minds. So he will just constantly throw at our minds thoughts of, hey, your life is not worth it. Thoughts that, hey, you're not really a child of God. Thoughts that you should be distracted by this or be distracted by that. Does God really love you? Does God really care about you? Is God really real? Did God really say? Right? And we know where that comes from. It comes from the garden. It comes from how he first deceived Eve. His strategies have not changed. And so he is constantly attacking our mind with thoughts. Now here's, again, the interesting part about it. No one just chooses to do things opposite of what God desires for them. It starts with a thought, right? No one just chooses to go and steal. No one just chooses to go and lie. No one just chooses to go and not believe in God. It starts up here in the mind. And it usually starts with things like confusion, unbelief, doubt, indecision, compromise. Because this is where Satan is attacking. If Satan can gain entry into one's mind and get someone to believe a lie, because all he's speaking and attacking with are lies, right? But if he can get someone to believe a lie about who they are or about what their purpose is in life, then that will lead to deception and destructive actions, okay? Next bullet point. As we have previously learned, Satan and his kingdom will attempt to speak lies into our life. We must constantly grow in knowing the voice of our shepherd, Jesus, and hearing his truth. However, we are also instructed in the Bible to cast down thoughts and imaginations that rise up against the mind of Christ. This is how we can actively resist and fight against the enemy's attacks against our mind. Okay, Romans 12, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Notice what needs to change first. How we think. How we think. If we think rightly about ourselves, if we think rightly about God, that will lead to right actions and obedience. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So it starts with how we think. And 2 Corinthians 10 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So, here is probably one of the greatest things that you could understand about spiritual warfare. How do you stand victorious against Satan and his kingdom? Because we know what Satan is doing. He's constantly throwing those arrows. He's constantly throwing lies at our minds. So how do we be victorious over what Satan is trying to do against our mind? Well, the Bible gives us a clear instruction. It says, cast down thoughts and imaginations. When we understand what cast down is in the Greek, right? And the Bible, it's originally written in the Greek language, right? So we use the Greek to understand certain meanings of words. But cast down, actually, it's not a passive action, but it's a very aggressive action to throw down, knock down thoughts, imaginations, and lies that set itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, let me give you one example, and we're going to look at another example from the book that we've also been following, from They Shall Expel Demons. Okay, let's just say you're studying for an exam, and all of a sudden you get a thought that your life is not worth living. Now, if that is a lie from Satan and his kingdom to attack your identity as a Christian, well, if that lie is consistent and constant, and you constantly hear that voice, your life is not worth living, your life is not worth living. Well, here's how a mature Christian can actively fight against that lie. You can either speak it out, which is probably the most effective way to do it, but you can say, "I cast down that thought in Jesus' name, because that thought is not a thought from God. That thought is not a part of my identity, because the Bible says I am a child of God and my life is worth living." I will guarantee that 99.9% of the time, those thoughts will stop. The moment that you use what the Bible says, our sword of the Spirit, and we cast down those thoughts and imaginations, those demons have to flee. Those lies need to stop. Those thoughts need to stop. That's how we actively stand firm against Satan and his kingdom. Here is another simple one, right? Where most Christians get attacked. We talked about this already, common areas of attack for Satan and his kingdom. We talked about Sunday mornings or other church gatherings, reading and studying the Bible, or worldliness, right? Let's say, just for, you know, another example, you wake up on Sunday morning or early afternoon and you get the thought, it's okay if I miss church today. God will understand. That's not a thought from God. That's a thought from Satan. That's a lie from Satan. It's okay if you go and you play basketball instead of going to church and gathering with the believers. Or, hey, this one's a good one. It's okay if you just take today off and study for your exam tomorrow. God will understand. You see, sometimes the voice that we need to discern between, the lie sounds so good, it sounds almost like it could be God, but it's not actually God. And if we actually take time to know the Bible and know what God's plan and purpose is for our lives, then we would know the truth, the Bible says, and the truth will set us free. Well, how do we fight against those types of thoughts? Well, we can quote scripture. Hebrews 10:26 says, "Do not neglect the meeting together, especially as the day of Christ draws near." So that thought is not a thought from God. And I cast down that thought in Jesus' name. And I choose to fight against that thought and go and do what I know Christ wants me to do, which is to gather with the church. Do you see how simple Satan's strategy is? Where he is just in very subtle ways trying to cause little steps of disobedience, little steps of irreverence in our life. Right? It's nothing grand for the Christian. Most of the time, we're not hearing the voice, "Go and shoot that person there," or "Go and steal that chocolate bar from the gas station." It's different for the Christian. Maybe for the unbeliever, they get attacked with those types of thoughts. But for the Christian, most of the time, our attacks come against our identity, and our attacks come where we will compromise in our faith, compromise in our obedience to Christ, compromise our example of how we should be living as authentic Christians. And that's where the attack comes most of the time for us. And that's where we need to stay on guard. That's where we need to fight. And that's how we need to battle. But again, the choice is ours if we choose to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. But this is what the scripture instructs us to do. And this is how we can be victorious over intrusive thoughts. Okay, what's an intrusive thought? Well, an intrusive thought is a thought that is constantly attacking our mind. It's not meant to be there, but it's intrusive because most of the time it causes us to do something out of the will of God. And it's a constant attack. Okay, it's a consistent attack. Let's look at this example real quick from the book. Okay, they shall expel demons. I'll read through the story and then just share a few points on it. Okay, Christopher, okay, and he's talking about the author of this book, Derek Prince, had heard something about my ministry of deliverance, but vowed before the conference that he would leave just the same as he had come. He attended my meetings and observed all that was going on. But true to his vow, he left the same as he came. While he was in the plane returning to school, however, he experienced such intense pain in his head that he actually thought he was going to die. In his agony, he began to pray, and the Lord showed him that it was a demon of doubt. Furthermore, he realized when that demon had entered him, a fellow student taunting Christopher for being a Christian had said to him, "Do you really believe Christ fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Christopher had replied, "Well, whether Christ really did that or not is not important. It doesn't affect my faith in him. That he realized had opened the door to the demon of doubt. In his agony, Christopher cried out to the Lord for deliverance. Then he felt the demon go out through his left ear. Turning to the woman sitting next to him, a total stranger, he said, "I believe Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Christopher had stumbled onto a vital spiritual principle. If we have opened the door to a demon by saying the wrong thing, we need to cancel the wrong thing by saying the right thing. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but after the resurrection, Jesus led Peter to unsay his denial by affirming to the Lord 3 times that he loved him." Okay, so in this story, what was the simple thing that Christopher did that opened up the door to a demon of doubt? Well, he just had this friend that asked him a question. Do you believe that Jesus did this? And instead of affirming his faith and saying, yes, I absolutely believe that Jesus did this, because that's what it says in the Bible. Well, he said, well, whether I believe it or not, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to affect my faith. And in that slight moment of compromise and denial of Christ and what is true, he opened up his life to a spiritual attack. He opened up his life to demonic influence, where a demon of doubt started to influence him. Now, we're going to learn later how we recognize if we have opened up doors to demonic influence and how to be delivered from demons and how to be healed from demonic influence. But this reveals what we're going to study next week. Our words do have power. What we say does have power. Or what we don't say even has power. And it's not something that we need to constantly, you know, be stumbling over or really be mindful of. But the scripture is pretty true. If we love Christ, well, we will not deny Christ, right? We will stand firm for Christ and we will stand up for Christ. And so the mind, what does the Bible say about how we can guard our mind? What is the piece of armor that we need to put on in order to protect our mind from spiritual attack? Right? Ephesians mentions this. It's the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is what protects us from the attacks against our mind. Now, what does that mean? Well, the helmet of salvation means that undeniably we know the truth. And we believe in Jesus. And we have faith in Jesus. And we trust in Jesus that no matter what we face in this life, that he is true to his promises. He is not going to abandon us. And he will help us to endure all the way to the end. That is the helmet of salvation. It's a confirmation of our faith and our trust and our belief in Jesus Christ. No matter what we face in this life, no matter what season we go through, we understand that Christ is good and his promises are true, and he will help us to get all the way to the end. Okay, so how do we recognize if we are being attacked in our mind? Well, the way that you recognize if your mind is being attacked is just think about what you think about on a daily basis. What are the thoughts that consume your mind or your thought pattern? Are they thoughts that are constructive? Are they positive or are they negative? Are there constant negative thoughts that are attacking our mind? And if we do have constant negative thoughts, then again, my encouragement is to utilize what the scripture says. Cast down those thoughts, those negative imaginations, those negative thoughts. And this is how we stand firm in Christ. And again, for us as Christians, Satan is constantly going to try to attack our identity and our purpose. He's going to try to make us ineffective for the kingdom of God. And he's going to try to cause us to doubt who we are in God, who we are as the children of God. Those are two of the most common areas in our mind that he will attack. And so if we recognize that those attacks are coming, then I will close with this, just as a reminder. We let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. And we do that through the Word of God. That's how we know what God's will is for us. And our minds will slowly transform into thinking the way that God thinks. And two, well, we actually have to use our authority in Christ. We have to cast down thoughts and imaginations that we know are not from God, but they are negative in nature. And we have to use our authority, use our voice to cast down those thoughts and imaginations. It's not a passive response, but it's actually an aggressive response against Satan and his kingdom. And that could do with any negative thought that we have. Okay, if we learn to do those two things in our journey as Christians, we will grow. We will be victorious. Okay, I've seen young men overcome lusts and temptation by applying these truths of casting down thoughts. That not every thought that comes into a young person's mind about looking at certain things, they know they shouldn't be looking at. Or looking at certain images, or participating in things they shouldn't be participating in. It starts in the mind. If we cast down those thoughts and imaginations, there is victory. I've seen many young people and older people overcome the lies of the enemy about their identity, about their purpose in life, if they actually utilize what the scripture says, which is change the way we think by knowing what God's will is through his word and actually cast down thoughts and imaginations when they start to attack our mind. That's how we resist the enemy and temptation. And we stand firm against the kingdom of darkness. Okay? So, here are our discussion questions for today. How can you stand firm in the battle against your mind? Well, I just gave you the answers. But it's easy to know it. And the moment that you leave here today, it will be very hard, or it will become harder to apply it to your life, right? And number two, do you think you have ever given the devil a foothold in your life? So we talked about that last week, that when we give the devil a foothold, then he's looking to build a stronghold, right? These are spiritual things that are happening in our life. And so we have to think about, if we've given Satan a foothold in our life, well, what is that area? And most often than not, footholds usually come through bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, doubt, confusion, unbelief, all of these different things gives the enemy a foothold in our life where he can now start to build and build and build. Okay, and so if we recognize that we've given the devil a foothold, well, we can pray about it. We can talk about it. I believe that there's an opportunity for us to be healed and delivered if we do want that. And if we choose that, then the Holy Spirit is much more powerful than any foothold that has been created by the devil. And if we want to be healed and delivered, well, Scripture is quite clear about how we do that. We confess. We share about our sin and our struggle. And we seek out healing and deliverance by trusted community and other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I am also here to pray with you. If you would like to seek healing on any area of your life where you believe that it's a foothold, that there's just a certain pattern of negative thinking or negative behavior in your life that is not aligned with the will of God, and you want that pattern to break, or you want that pattern of negative thinking to break, well, there is an opportunity for healing and deliverance, but we need to seek it out, and we also need to be honest. And we need to pray about it. And that's how we are healed. And that's how we are delivered. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word and for your truth today. God, your word is alive and it's powerful. But sometimes the harder decision is for us to actually take a step of faith. And to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with other people that we're struggling in a certain area. Even if that's like we don't fully believe in you, God, if that's the area of struggle, or maybe right now we're struggling to believe in your word, to believe that you are a good father, because we're going through a situation or something in our life, God, that is speaking louder than your truth. Or whatever that area is of our negative thinking or a negative thought pattern or negative behavior, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would bring it to mind, that you would expose it, that you would reveal it to us, and also give us courage, give us faith, give us boldness to step out and to seek out healing and deliverance. Because through your word, it says that we can experience that if we're willing to be honest. And if we're willing to confess our sins to another and to pray for one another, God, that's how we can break free from the powers of Satan and his kingdom. That's how we can walk in freedom. That's how we can walk in the peace that you desire for us. So God, wherever those footholds exist, I just pray that you would give us wisdom and revelation to see where they exist. But then also give us the faith and the courage to do something about it. Father, I just pray that you would guard our minds, protect our minds. Help us to use the authority in Christ that we have to cast down every lie, every thought, every imagination that comes against us that is not from you, God. This is how we stand firm as soldiers of Christ and how we are victorious against the kingdom of darkness. Because we know that Satan, he is going to continue to work and do what he does. But thank you for this opportunity where we can become more aware of his attacks and that we can also grow and be equipped as soldiers of Christ to stand firm against his attacks so that we can endure all the way to the end. So we give you all the praise, God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor this day. In your name we pray. Amen.